Sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW, NXT, and indie wrestling too.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait.
It's Wednesday night, Dynamite.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
I need to sit back and relax. What a hot mess that was on AEW Dynamite. I mean, and look, most of what I'm going to say is complimentary, but how are we supposed to go live 4 minutes after Dynamite goes off the air? Not only that, but we have to add 4 extra graphics, add 9 New Japan wrestlers that 99% of us don't know, don't care, but we have to cover it. I got to be honest with you. I'm looking forward to tonight's show. I always look forward to the shows, hanging out with all you guys, but that's too much. I mean, Tony Khan, piece of advice. How's about build instead of surprise? Okay, Okada, he showed up. The guy, without question, is the premier Japanese wrestler. And for anyone out there that has never seen this man wrestle, do not be fooled by the blonde hair. I do want that t-shirt, though. I really do want that t-shirt. That t-shirt. That looks like one of my grammar school shirts that I had like a Fonzie iron-on patch and it just wore off because of 200 washings over. But I like that shirt and I'm not even saying it to be sarcastic. Do not misconstrue. Do not take his look and think, oh, this is just another Japanese wrestler. This is fucking awesome. Why wait until 5 days before? I know we like the element of surprise. And look, I'm going to do something that I used to do every show. I don't do it as much anymore. But in recent weeks, we've had so much fun. We could bring back a little bit of vintage Don Tony. Look, I don't like to disrespect wrestling fans. You know, journalists, podcasts, you see the fakeness, you see the gushing, you see the how they clickbait a lot of people. But I got to say it, man. When Okada's music hit tonight, before it showed up on the graphic, let's be honest for a minute. Do you actually think that they knew who was coming out? When I first saw that, I thought it was a 9-year-old boy. And then somebody said to me, no, that is a middle-aged woman. And props, props. But this is what Tony Khan goes for instead of build. You know, it's like, okay, I'm going to go on a blind date with someone. And you don't talk on the phone for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. You have a little bit of understanding. Hey, Excalibur, not everybody fucking knows about the New Japan Dojo. Or, you know, well, Ishii we have seen. I always think of Eazy-E. But, you know, some of these names we know. But they're throwing them out there like Cracker Jack surprises. Of course we all like surprises. Jesus. Sometimes I buy Japanese food and Mexican food that's written in a different language, but there's a surprise inside and I open it up like, oh, look at this. You know, stop. Build this fucking shit. Literally doing this 5 minutes after the show went off the air and I'm supposed to add dudes from Attitudes and I have to go and try to make sure I spell Hikuleo right. I think of Hikuleo, I think Bamboreo, Bamborea, blah, 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 Hikuleo, Hikuleo. Most of these people don't give a shit about. What do you think their lowest ratings the last couple of weeks? We showed you the graph over the weekend. New Japan on Axis TV has no boost whatsoever. AEW, since building the Forbidden Door, Tony Khan, he ejaculated numerous times tonight. And again, AEW fans, look, all their stars are performing. And I am an AEW fan. But honestly, this was a pay-per-view to help New Japan get exposure in the United States, to have some of these names become more household names. We also have a lot of wrestlers having fantasy matches, and a lot of these wrestlers do like to wrestle in Japan. It does help both sides. There is no question. Right now, the ratings have gone down, not because of hockey, not because of basketball, not because of shootings, mass casualties, storms, tornadoes, earthquakes. The ratings have gone down because this is designed for that niche, hardcore AEW fan base. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I promise you, and I'm saying this as a compliment, AEW has done no damage to their product over the last couple of weeks. Where they go from here is the number one question. Once, look at the opening of Dynamite tonight when Bryan Danielson came out to address his status for Blood and Guts and Forbidden Door. When he came out there, he first addressed Forbidden Door. Polite reaction from the crowd. When he addressed Blood and Guts, that whole fucking building, Blood and Guts, Blood and Guts, Blood and Guts, Milwaukee, Blood and Guts. You didn't hear him go, Forbidden Door, Forbidden Door, Forbidden Door, Forbidden Door. So get through Forbidden Door, move on. Get back to what made AEW such an alternative. They did a skit tonight with Jay Lethal, Sanjay Dutt, and Satnam Singh. And I like those guys. And obviously, we love Samoa Joe as well. But to hear Jay Lethal, oh, Samoa Joe, defend that Ring of Honor TV championship or vacate it. That's no fucking active promotion right now. He's vacating a title for a promotion that is on hiatus. This is all, like I said, Tony Khan has got his priorities. Look, if Tony Khan is content with having more of a niche audience and a smaller audience because they're catering to a Ring of Honor promotion that has never been nationwide. When Tony Khan was a hardcore Ring of Honor fan 12, 15 years ago, he fantasized that Ring of Honor should be the number two. Fuck TNA, NWA, TNA, Impact Wrestling. Ring of Honor should have been number two. The fans chose, no, it's not number two. You had for 10, 15 years that the only time Ring of Honor would draw a great crowd is WrestleMania weekend. That's the only time they would draw great crowds. Yeah, give credit to Ring of Honor in New Japan selling out Madison Square Garden. And what the fuck happened a month or two afterwards? Wasn't Ring of Honor in Las Vegas and they did like 350 fans? I mean, he wants Ring of Honor to be this, but it's never been this. And it's not even active right now. And you're wasting time. I mean, look, guys, gals, remember Great Sasuke? For everybody who's live right now, because you're the only ones that could respond at this very moment, and I'm saying this sincerely. You remember Great Sasuke? Great Sasuke was awesome. My first real hardcore following of Great Sasuke is when he appeared on the ECW pay-per-view. What was it? I think he was on Barely Legal. And he impressed so much, and fans in the United States embraced Great Sasuke so quickly, WWF snatched him right up. But when Great Sasuke had all these titles at the same time, I didn't give a fuck. Okay, I'm impressed. You got a boatload of belts that I don't give a shit about that mean nothing for the United States people. Oh, that's good. That's bling. That's bling. Ultimo Dragon. Or in WCW, the Ultimate. The Ultimate Dragon. The Ultimo Dragon. One of the greatest wrestlers of all time from Japan. No question. When he was hyped up in WCW of holding all these titles at the same time. Oh, yeah, it was impressive. Fucking great wrestler. I don't give a shit about any of those belts. I fucking watch WWE. I want to see WWE titles. I watch AEW. I want to see AEW titles feel important. Does any of the AEW titles feel important right now. The fucking All Atlantic Championship. That's not even going to be. It's going to be like a little advertising toy for overseas, for AEW exposure. That belt feels more important than any. Jade Cargill's belt feels more important than anything else. So, with all due respect, I love this tag team. But I don't give a flying fuck about any of those belts you see on this screen. You could have 10 belts, 12 belts, 16 belts. Eat it up. You're one of my favorite tag teams in the United States. You don't have the AEW tag team titles because at the end, you Tony Khan is having a hand job with the Young Bucks and all of his Ring of Honor New Japan fantasies. FTR was not on the radar back in the day. So let's be a little bit realistic here. Just like what we talked about Jeff Hardy, just like we talked about Tammy Sitch, just like we talk about Vince McMahon, just like we talk about other topics. You know, you got either far right or far left. We can enjoy this. We can have fun with it. But we could also keep it in proper perspective. I saw so many people tonight that were going bonkers for, I thought it was the Butcher, Silas Young. I guarantee you 90% of that audience had no fucking idea who that was. It looked like AEW went on Wish and bought the Butcher. And then they're chanting his name. Politeness. Look, Japanese wrestlers will embrace someone who works hard. ECW would embrace El Puerto Riqueño and others that were not made major stars or even stars at all, but they worked hard. And fans, that's respect. Those fans tonight show respect. A lot of those Japanese wrestlers, they don't really care that much about, but they show respect. That is props to that crowd tonight. But for the everyday wrestling fan, if New Japan or Ring of Honor was bigger than it's being perceived right now, then why on Access TV, New Japan, and can't even get 50,000 viewers? You have so many of these wrestlers. Jay White, the Briscoes, have been featured on Impact Wrestling week after week after week after week. And you hear people, oh my God, you got to see this match with Jay White. Why? Because it's not on AEW television? The fuck is that? If you're that into these wrestlers and they're on free TV on a night that WWE and AEW is not on and you still don't watch, you know, what does that say? What does that say? So, speaking of Wish, Zack Sabre Jr. was supposed to take on Bryan Danielson, I'm assuming at Forbidden Door. Because Bryan Danielson, you know, as we said, let's get through Dynamite fast. Because we got a few things to get into tonight. It's not going to all be about this. And we are going to do predictions tonight. Believe it or not, I actually got all the graphics. Literally in 3 minutes, I was able to pull everything. Whew, I'm tired. I'm getting too old for this. But anyway, Bryan Danielson, when he opened up, he says, I got good news and I got bad news. He can't work Forbidden Door and he can't work Blood and Guts. Now, with Zack Sabre Jr., he claims that Chris Jericho paid Zack Sabre Jr. to face Bryan Danielson. And as much as Bryan Danielson would love to crush Zack Sabre Jr.'s trachea, as excited he would have been to appear at Blood and Guts, he cannot because of injury. But, I figured it out. I figured it out. Jericho and his flaccid crew of cocksmen. That is what Bryan Danielson said about Jericho's Appreciation Society. Eddie Kingston always says that he thinks that Bryan Danielson, is a judgmental prick. And tonight, Bryan Danielson says Jericho and his flaccid crew of cockmen at Anarchy in the Arena caused Bryan Danielson not to be cleared, but Bryan Danielson has someone. He has someone that he feels is going to do amazing against Zack Sabre Jr. So, because Bryan Danielson came out from the heel entrance tonight, he's not telling us who Zack Sabre Jr. is facing at Forbidden Door. I think I have figured it out. I definitely think I have figured it out. Now, a lot of people online think it's going to be Cesaro. And I had a little fun earlier today. You know, AEW, they went on Wish and they ordered Cesaro expedited shipping. Yeah, I like Fabian Aichner, but Giovanni Vinci. No, I don't see any future there. I saw that yesterday on NXT. I was like, oh my God, it's Cesaro. It's Cesaro repackaged. That's Fabian Aichner for those who don't watch NXT with us. By the way, NXT, once again, kick-ass rating in the sixes, pre-recorded, no outstanding, unbelievable matches. You're starting to see a loyal following building on NXT. It's okay to follow the stars of tomorrow developing right before our eyes. We talked about that for over 2 years. Now you're starting to see some people put it together. Of course, there's others. I feel like you do when you take a shit. How many of you, I brought this up before, random. How many of you, when you take a shit, you do a Macho Man impersonation? Like when you force it and it doesn't want to come out, you end up doing a Macho Man impersonation that you never realized that you can do. And seriously, the next time you're constipated and you feel it right there and you're just forcing it almost like Elvis did when he dropped dead, you force it, be like, oh, yeah. Telling you, you force it, you'll have the best Macho Man impersonation every time. But Giovanni Vinci sounds like I'm laying gas. So I don't think it's going to be Cesaro. Everybody online tonight thinks Cesaro or Johnny Gargano. Would you like to know who I believe is going to face Zack Sabre Jr.? Chat room, let's see who the first person is that is thinking what I'm thinking. And I won't do a Mankind like, I wonder if you're thinking what I'm thinking. And if you are thinking what I'm thinking, then what I'm thinking that you're thinking what I'm thinking is actually what I'm thinking, even though you may not think what I'm thinking. We got MJF, we got Gargano, we got Bray Wyatt, not yet, Amazing Red. Come on. Andre, speed it up. We don't have too much time tonight. Kenny Omega, not bad choices, but no one has said what I said yet. Sunny Kiss, hey, I loved the interview Sunny Kiss did this week. She said, hey, how's about we celebrate LGBTQ wrestlers when it's not Pride Month? Fucking bravo. I've been saying this for how many goddamn years? I didn't mean to sound like an asshole. I love Mercedes Martinez. I actually think Jake Atlas is very talented. But when they main evented last year, we're like, oh, what month it is? Oh, okay. And as soon as that month was over, they were over. And I don't mean over with the fans. We got Marco Stump. We got Chris Benoit's son. Okay, a little bit of comedy. Velveteen Dream. Sharkboy. Sharkboy performed at Slammiversary. Got the win. Nobody? Not one person? Nobody? Come on, somebody's got to throw it out there. I don't see anybody saying it. All right, let me just tell you because we don't want it. It's going to be. I'll give you some hints. He is featured on TV every week. This person is going to piss off Chris Jericho more than you can imagine. Chris Jericho will probably go on the stage and like, what the fuck are you doing? Daniel Garcia. It's going to be Daniel Garcia. Because, I don't know if you caught it. Nah, too late, Kavan. Too late. You know why I think it's going to be Daniel Garcia? I could be wrong. But you know why I think it's going to be Daniel Garcia? Because Excalibur, right at the very end of Dynamite tonight, said that the person that's going to face Zack Sabre Jr. is the newest member of the Blackpool Combat Club. And a lot of people think Daniel Garcia is the perfect choice. Sammy Guevara and Daniel Garcia do not like each other. And you're going to see, soon as Sammy became a member of the Jericho Appreciation Society, that is what Daniel Garcia, in the end, is going to do to that group. And I think down the line, we will see a feud between Daniel Garcia and Sammy Guevara. I am going with that. I'm not saying it's going to, I don't think it's going to be two dimes. He's got, I think, a 30-day no-compete. I'm just throwing it out there. You know, that's the fun thing about wrestling. We don't have to be right all the time. It feels good to be right, but I think it's going to be Daniel Garcia. We will see. We will see. So, Zack Sabre Jr. comes out, and just a stare down with Bryan Danielson, nothing happens there. Then we get, by the way, I don't know if you, any of you out there knew of Zack Sabre Jr.'s music before, but every time I hear that music, it's to me, it's like a ripoff of that song Breathe by The Prodigy. Remember that song Breathe? Al Snow's theme music from ECW? Head. Rest in peace, Keith Flint. Died like 2.5 years ago. So used to like that group, The Prodigy. Props to everybody who was a fan of that music. John Moxley cuts a promo talking about Forbidden Door and Tanahashi. We get Orange Cassidy and Roppongi Vice. They defeated Will Ospreay and Aussie Open. This was a fun match. I mean, it was very much Crash TV. The referee had no control over this match. Some of the spots were overly scripted. I mean, if you focus on individual wrestlers during that match, you'll see where Will Ospreay kept setting himself up to, you know, to take moves. And, you know, when you see someone literally jumping up in the air as they're being splashed by Orange Cassidy, I mean, you look at it closely, but people just want total nonstop action, no pun intended. And they want train wreck, and that's what it was. But it was a fun match still nonetheless. And I personally think when we get to predictions later, I think Orange Cassidy getting the pin on Kyle Fletcher is a telltale sign that Orange Cassidy is not going to win at Forbidden Door. After the match is over, you know, right on cue, they're at the gorilla position waiting for their foes to win. You have Jeff Cobb and the Great Okan. They come out, little stare down, and then the United Empire. They got all the numbers, but you know, the fans are like FTR, and they get it. FTR comes out, big pop, asking you shall receive, and the United Empire back down. And look, I say this is a compliment. Still, a lot of these wrestlers I don't give a shit about. If I never see Great Okan again, fine with me. If I don't see Hikuleo, Hikulea, you know, some of these wrestlers I have no interest, but, you know, as you watch them, you know, now we're talking about Aussie Open, United Empire, and others, and you start to learn some of these wrestlers. So who knows, 6 months from now, we might feel differently. And that's what this is designed to do. So again, you know, it's not a negative overall, but AEW's got to focus again. You know, that's what they fucked up with NXT. They took their eye off of what NXT was supposed to be for two and a half years. You don't want AEW to take their eye off because, oh my God, I could finally make Ring of Honor the promotion the size that it should have been all these years. Oh my God, you know, I would, because I love New Japan. They gotta, you know, oh, I gotta have 19 titles in my promotion. I'm telling you, it's turning more people off than it's turning people on. And like I said, when that crowd chanted for Blood and Guts and did not chant for Forbidden Door early in the night, now, yes, they had reasons to get more excited later on with Okada and others. So, all right. Christian comes out. And look, I got to be honest with all of you. My takeaway from Christian's promo about Jungle Boy tonight, I don't know if any of you out there felt it, but for me, this was MJF, Brian Pillman, and Brian Pillman Jr., excuse me, and Brian Pillman's family all over again. It was identical. Just like when MJF, he had Cody with the whipping and Jericho, and then they redid everything again with MJF and Wardlow. This was the same thing with MJF and Brian Pillman Jr. all over again. MJF making fun of Brian Pillman Jr.'s family, sister. What did we get last week? Christian has been with Jungle Boy for a year, and Christian never met Jungle Boy's sister and mother before last week. Come on, let's, you know, storyline, let's think about it. But this was exactly the same thing. Right down to Brian Pillman Jr.'s father being dead and Jungle Boy's father being dead. This was the exact clone of MJF and Brian Pillman Jr. Christian is a legend, a Hall of Famer. He kills it. I mean, some of his best promos was when he was a heel feuding with John Cena. And you remember back at that time, we talked about it hardcore on our early podcast years, that it felt right before our very eyes, Christian was overtaking John Cena in the battles, the promos. We're not talking about raps. We're talking about just cutting promos on each other. It felt like, wow, I'm kind of digging Christian more, I'm digging John Cena. And then all of a sudden it felt like that the rug was pulled from underneath Christian back then. I'll never forget that. And then, you know, when he finally was going for the heavyweight title, won it, and then lost it almost immediately. I'll never forget also when Christian went on social media and said to everyone, don't worry, everyone, I'll get it back. And you knew that was Christian just trying to console his hardcore fans. Trust me, I am a big Christian fan. I remember all these things. Christian tonight was spectacular. He dissed Jungle Boy. They stretched with the storyline. Oh, Jungle Boy eliminated me last year at the Casino Battle Royale, so this was all a setup for what happened last year. So what's going to happen down the line? Keith Lee's going to turn heel on Swerve Strickland, and that's for eliminating me from the Casino Battle Royale. You know, I mean, to me, that was a stretch. It wasn't even needed, but Christian still taking a lot of shots at Jungle Boy's father, you know, who is obviously no longer with us. They show the clip from last week of Christian and the very vulgar exchange he had with Jungle Boy's sister and mother. And Christian, you know, saying, enjoy your early retirement. In fact, I think your mother kind of digged me and wants me to be your father. But I never want to be your father. Your father's dead, and your father's happy that he's dead. Because if he was alive right now, he'd be witnessing how much of an embarrassment you are. But then something had happened that made me laugh my ass off. Christian might have done this better towards Jungle Boy than MJF did towards Brian Pillman Jr. Because when you think about MJF's character, we've been calling him the loose cannon for about 10 months now. MJF is very much like the loose cannon Brian Pillman. If anything, MJF is probably one of Brian Pillman, the original Brian Pillman, MJF is a huge fan of. With this, with Christian, it hits a different nerve. And Christian nailed it so well. But I couldn't help laughing when Luchasaurus comes out. He is so pissed off at what Christian just said about Jungle Boy and about Jungle Boy's father and his mother and this and that, that the fucking dinosaur has the backstage in storyline, hit my music, hit our music, hit Tarzan Boy. How's that for intimidating? I pissed off a dinosaur so bad, he's got to cue Tarzan Boy. I'm going to kill him. You fucking hit Tarzan Boy. If you could hit Tarzan Boy, I wouldn't even hit Tarzan Boy if Jungle Boy came out, but they want that surprise pop. So he comes out, and for some reason Christian is able to convince Luchasaurus that he cares. He's like a father figure. Is suddenly Luchasaurus like a mentally retarded dinosaur, that he's a simpleton? I mean, don't get me wrong. You know, we've seen this 1,000 times over the years in storyline. Someone gives a hug. Kevin Owens did it several times with some of his friends. He did that with Jungle Boy, and then tonight he does that with Luchasaurus. I mean, that's, you know, 101. But a fucking dinosaur is buying into this stuff. You ain't so sharp. You're not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I didn't like that at the very end. That after everything that Christian said, that Luchasaurus would possibly hold, I don't know. I think this was one ingredient too much. I think Luchasaurus should have ran fucking out there. No music, no nothing. Come out with a chair. Come out with two chairs to symbolize the concerto from last week. And you chase Christian out of the ring. You just stand in the middle of the ring by yourself, and Christian gets out of Dodge, and he's just looking at the ring, and this hugging stuff, that's someone who's following a recipe in a book and does, buys all the perfect ingredients, makes the recipe exactly the way it is. It's spectacular. It looks good. It smells good. It tastes good. And then Chef Khan is going to be like, no, you know what? Let's put a little Gorilla Glue in here. Let's add a little extra spice. You know, I got my mama's Okan's mystery spice. Let's put that in there. And now it doesn't taste all that great. That's how I felt after that. You just fucking chase Christian out of the ring. But I'm like a father to you. I'm like a father to you. Get the fuck out of here. I thought that was stupid. Everything else was perfect. Young Bucks, Kyle O'Reilly backstage teasing that, you know, they're not going to, you know, wrestle at the Forbidden Door pay-per-view. But we find out later on we are getting a match. We're going to have Hikuleo and El Fantasmo. They're going to team up with the Young Bucks. And early on, all we heard is that it's Sting's cronies. We'll get to that in a little bit. Penta loses to Malakai Black. We've been saying that for 2 weeks now. You know, the AAA, CMLL stuff. You had some journalists that tried to put clouds in that to try to blur it. No, that's not actually accurate. The fuck, what are you talking about? That's exactly accurate. Andrade, Penta, and Rey Fénix were not performing at Forbidden Door. That was a fact. And when that came out, Tony Khan had a conniption because we're supposed to get Penta versus Malakai Black, and now everybody knows and Penta's not winning. And you saw, I don't know if you realized it, but you saw some journalists trying to blur that. No, that's not actually accurate. Interpretation, Tony Khan, request, please. You got to kind of like blur that a little bit because, you know, it's ruining the suspension with this match. That's exactly what happened. And what we saw tonight was exactly that again. And the funny thing is, we joked about it on Monday. We're like, hopefully we don't get this Julie Hart bullshit. You know, she joins the House of Black and she's busy on social media taking pictures of her wearing regular outfits in her car. You know, like, hey, we're going to go shopping. You know, I like her. But her going into the House of Black, I mean, I know we're in Forbidden Door. Then do it after Forbidden Door. Do it after. But at least we had a one-on-one match in Penta early on selling the back, and that would actually be his demise later on. And Malakai Black with the heel kick gets the win. Just on cue, like Cobb and the Great Okan. It's the Great Okan, Charlie Brown. Just like that before, as soon as the pin happened, okay, Pat, go out there. Pat goes out there, a little stare down with Malakai Black, and then Miro with the pre-recorded that at Forbidden Door, I will drive all the bastards and the pagans with me, and I will redeem them all. Miro, super over with the fans, super over with here, this show and the family. Wardlow cutting a promo on Scorpio Sky. Oh, I don't want to go after CM Punk's title because he's injured right now and he is not ready. But he wants Scorpio Sky. Now this week, Scorpio Sky, you know, you're injured, but when you're ready, I want that title. So they fixed that, which was good. Less is more with Wardlow. I will tell you this. Even though tonight was a hot mess, too much announced last minute, and it should have been built a little bit better. They did 10 times better this week than last week as far as TV goes. Hangman Page beating Silas Young, Adam Cole on commentary. Again, as soon as Hangman Page got the win, literally, just like the others we said earlier, Adam Cole immediately get on the mic. Whoa, 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 whoa. He wants to do story time before he could say a word. Jay White comes out. Adam Cole, he tells Adam Cole, you're not facing me. You lost to that guy twice. And Jay White says it's not going to be either, you either, Hangman Page. He gets in the ring. Hangman Page knocks the mic out of his hand. Next thing you know, we get a little bit of supposed double teaming. Adam Cole whacks Hangman Page in the leg. Jay White and Hangman Page go at it a little bit in the ring, and Adam Cole picks up the IWGP championship. And it looks like he's going to hit Jay White with it, but Jay White turns around last minute, and Adam Cole's like, no, 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 I want to hit Hangman Page. He tells Jay White, pick up Page. He wants to give him a belt shot, and that's where Okada's music hit. Okada comes out. We got to stand down. And early on, a lot of people thought it was going to be a tag team match. What they forgot is that Tony Khan issued a press release earlier that Jay White's title was being defended at Forbidden Door. So we found out later on it's going to be Jay White defending the IWGP Championship against Adam Cole, Hangman Page, and Okada in a four-way. So, backstage promo. Personally, I didn't think this was needed tonight, building up Forbidden Door. Red Velvet's injured, so I guess you become injured, you're no longer a baddie. So they're looking for a new baddie, and they want people to send in, you know, their reasons why they should become a baddie. And then Chris Statlander and Athena doing their own promo, mocking them. So again, I would have just saved that for next week, or save it for Rampage. I personally save it for next week. Focus everything on Forbidden Door. I felt that the only reason why they were on that screen tonight is to go back at the replay, you know, results, and you see a bunch of women on the show. That's how it felt to me. By the way, a few of you asked me earlier when Jim Ross said that he's called a bunch of Okada matches in his career. That actually is true. For those that may have forgotten, from I think 2015 to 2018, yeah, it's got to be 18 because 19 was we started getting the AEW stuff. From 15-18, Jim Ross commentated some New Japan stuff with Josh Barnett, right, and a few others. So, yeah, he has called Okada matches. Absolutely, absolutely. Tony Storm beating Marina Shafir, who had Nyla Rose in a corner. Very, very smart on AEW's part. Keep the not all the focus on Marina Shafir. We remember what happened last week with Thunder Rosa. Marina Shafir loses with a fruit roll-up. You know, a little awkward at the end. Tony Storm is literally sitting right next to Marina Shafir, and she's got a finger in her face. Ha, I just beat you. And Marina Shafir, with this look on her face, like, damn, I got to change my pad. Like, she had this real, like angry period look on her face. I'm sorry for being gross, but, you know, trust me, I've seen that this week. You got that just really like, you don't even want to move. You're just frozen like, ugh. She should have just, when Tony Storm said, ha, I would have punched her right in the fucking mouth. Would have punched her right in the face. But instead, Nyla Rose attacks Tony Storm because she could do it better. Marina Shafir tries to get involved with it. Thunder Rosa makes the save. We get a little stare down in the middle of the ring. And it was funny because if you go back and you watch the stare down with Thunder Rosa and Tony Storm, it looked like a lot of respect. And, you know, like you could see Tony Storm is like kind of complimenting on Thunder Rosa. And it almost looks like Thunder Rosa is saying, like, act a little bit angrier. And after about 30 seconds of them just having nice chatter, then all of a sudden you see like the tensions building up a little bit. It was pretty funny. Kind of like what they did at the very end with Moxley and Tanahashi. So advertise for next week. For Rampage, DKC, who's from the New Japan Dojo, he's going to take on Hook. Andrade versus Rey Fénix, Jeff Cobb versus Cash Wheeler, and Serena Deeb and Mercedes Martinez are going to be teaming up. If I sound a little bit off, I have been under the weather since Thursday. I was sick Thursday night like a dog. Friday, I felt a little better. This weekend, Father's Day, the temperature was kind of cool out, and even though I spent it with my dad, it was mostly outside, and today I feel awful. So if I do sound a little bit off, that's why. I'm actually sweating my ass off right now, and it's pretty cool in here. So, main event, and I enjoyed this. You know, unfortunately, when you have so many matches announced 10 minutes before it goes off the air, and I have to come here and do a show and do predictions, I'm literally changing matches, adding who is Sting's dudes that are teaming up with him. I'm finding graphics, trying to. So you're doing that as you're watching the match, and it was a fun main event. in the end, we had Tanahashi hit a frog splash on Lance Archer for the win. After that, the floodgates opened up. Crash TV, everybody out there that could possibly be going off the air. And, you know, like I said, you like Crash TV surprises, some great wrestling mixed in as well, and some, you know, TV 14 promos. Because, you know, as we said before, a lot of what MJF said in AEW would not say in WWE. Christian, I don't even think could go that far if he was in WWE, which is fine. That's why I don't like comparing the two brands. But, you know, it was a fun night, but a hot mess nonetheless. Hot mess nonetheless. I'm a poet in case you didn't know it. So, with that said, let's quickly get into Forbidden Door predictions. Now, I will, as far as I feel right now, I will be up here Sunday night doing a recap. But I will tell you, and I'm being straight up, so you are warned when you tune in, a lot of these talents from New Japan, I don't watch every week. My choice. And I'm not going to suddenly analyze every little thing that some of these wrestlers do. Okada, of course. Tanahashi, of course. Some others as well. You know, Zack Sabre Jr., it's going to be a treat for people that's never seen him. You think of Will Ospreay. I think, believe it or not, I think Will Ospreay and Orange Cassidy, as well as Zack Sabre Jr., might be the stealers of the show. Now, the four-way with Okada, Jay White, Paige, and Cole is obviously going to be huge as well. And you know Moxley and Tanahashi is going to be physical as fuck. But I think some of them are going to be sleeper hits. So let's get into predictions. I personally would have maybe added one of these matches as part of the buy-in. Right now, we only have one buy-in match. That is the New Japan Dojo of DKC, Kevin Knight, Alex Coghlan, and Yuya Uemura taking on the Gun Club and Max Caster. And again, I don't ask for thank yous all that often, but trust me, this was fucking hard to find these graphics, try to download them, edit them, resize them, upload them, prepare it in literally 5 to 10 minutes time. So, but we got him. Max Caster and the Gun Club. See, I think what a lot of people forget, and I know this is going to sound awfully stupid to some of you, and I totally understand why. There are people that think that AEW is going to Japan. You'd be shocked how many people on social media think AEW is going to Japan. No, they're not. They're going to Chicago. So, remember, this is going to be in front of an AEW audience first. Of course, New Japan is going to get their share of the wins. But in this case, the Gun Club and Max Caster, they got to get the win. None of those guys on the other team, with all due respect, do everyday wrestling fans give a shit about. So I'm going with Max Caster and the Gun Club to get the win. All right. Some of these matches, you know, they might just be kind of random. When I put it in here, winner takes all. FTR, who are the Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions, versus the United Empire, the Great Okan. It's the Great Okan, Charlie Brown, and Jeff Cobb, who are the IWGP Tag Champs, versus Roppongi Vice, who have no belts. No belts. Winner take all. Why should they be in the match if they don't have titles? Because, oh, we got to give Trent a match in Rocky Romero. Winner has both the IWGP and the Ring of Honor tag titles. Now, again, Ring of Honor's titles are on hiatus. Now, which team is likely to go in their respective countries? Do you think Jeff Cobb and the Great Okan would stay in the United States for an extended stay? Or do you think FTR would be traveling to Japan down the line? And the reason why I say that is because New Japan is not going to go without their tag titles for all that long. So whoever wins obviously is going to have to either go to the other promotion's country sooner than later, or someone is going to remain in the United States and get their titles back. I don't like this winner take all, because when you do a winner take all, why would you only defend one of those titles down the line? Let's say FTR wins the IWGP titles too. Why would they only defend one set of tag titles down the line? See, Ring of Honor is on hiatus. I know people hate when I say that, but it's just a fact. Ring of Honor is dead right now. You know, until we see shows, touring, it doesn't even have to have TV yet. It's dead right now. So those titles, they could be in Zimbabwe right now. They could be in Italy. They could be in Iraq. And it wouldn't fucking matter, because the promotion is not going anywhere. So I say you give it to FTR, but I don't know how you have FTR lose those IWGP championships back. So we will see what happens. We will see what happens. I don't think FTR have the AAA titles anymore. I thought they lost them. Actually, you know what? No, I think they do have them. I actually think they do have them. Well, see, my brain still works, everyone. Obviously, AAA doesn't want Rey Fénix, Penta, or Andrade on this show. So AAA don't want their title seen on this show as well. That's why it's winner take all and there's no AAA titles on the line. AAA wants nothing to do with this. Give Don Tony a little credit. I am old, but the brain still, that's Prevagen for you. That's probably why you don't see the AAA titles. So I could see FTR adding another belt to their collection. I think FTR in Chicago needs to win, so I'm going with FTR. And thank you, everyone. I don't know if you're just trying to make me feel good, or maybe you really believe it. Say that it makes sense. The Bullet Club. The Young Bucks. Hikuleo. And El Fantasmo. Taking on the Dudes with Attitudes. Darby Allin, Sting, Shingo Takagi, and Hiromu Takahashi. For those who haven't seen me in a while, I do speak Japan now. I could actually nail it. Look, again, the Bullet Club, the Young Bucks just won the tag titles. No titles are on the line in this match. You're in Chicago. Sting is back. It's Sting's rules. You know that. I'm going with the Dudes with Attitudes. You'll probably see Hikuleo or El Fantasmo eat the pin here. But I'm going with Sting and Darby Allin's team to get it. Some of these matches, I think, are very predictable. Some of them are not. Will Ospreay, I believe, will, without a doubt, retain the IWGP United States title. Orange Cassidy is not 100% yet. He is obviously almost 100%. Did great in the match tonight, but he still needs more time. And you just have Will Ospreay get that title. Will Ospreay, nice introduction on a national level to wrestling fans in the States. But in the end, Will Ospreay's taking that title back to Japan. Will Ospreay will get that win over Orange Cassidy. Next on the list, Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho, the Jericho Appreciation Society. Again, take notice, no Daniel Garcia. We got Jericho, Sammy Guevara, and Minoru Suzuki. They're taking on Eddie Kingston, Wheeler Yuta, and Shota Umino. I think Shota Umino is probably the weak link here. Eddie Kingston, without a doubt, is probably the most over wrestler in AEW as far as fans go. They just love the guy. I mean, fans probably, you know, pop for CM Punk and Bryan Danielson and Moxley and others a little more, but Eddie Kingston is the real fan favorite in this. We just had Jericho win the hair versus hair. I don't see Jericho getting two wins in a row. So I'm going with Eddie Kingston, Wheeler Yuta, and Shota Umino to get the win. Even though Shota Ohota, some people say Umino, is the weak link here, I would not be surprised with Tony Khan's gushing of Wheeler Yuta. Yuta Michinoku. We'll probably see Wheeler Yuta get the win. I would not be surprised after the match, Minoru Suzuki. Jericho gets mad at me. You know what? The more I think about it, I think Minoru Suzuki will be pinned. And I think Jericho will get angry at Minoru Suzuki for losing, and then Minoru Suzuki is going to beat the fuck out of Jericho. That's what I think is going to happen. Next. Talk to me. Thunder Rosa versus Tony. So we got a women's match. Couldn't send one Japanese wrestler from Shimmer anywhere else to the United States. Nah. We have Thunder Rosa defending against Tony Storm. This is going to be a good match. I think Thunder Rosa retains. I will not be surprised right after she gets the win. We'll probably see some heels come out and try to attack both women. And then they will align and help each other's back. And then they leave the ring with a sign of respect. That's where I see this is going. It's a shame that you have everything New Japan versus AEW, and you know that match was put on there so people don't complain online. Where's all the women? Why aren't the women wrestling? So, but Thunder Rosa will retain. For the All Atlantic Championship, we have Pac versus Miro versus Malakai Black versus Tomohiro Ishii. Now, this title is intended more to be advertised overseas, in my opinion. I feel Miro needs a title. The Redeemer is so over right now, he should have that title. I don't see Tomohiro Ishii making, I don't think it would be that big of a deal if he takes that title, brings it overseas, and then you hear it defended on a show here and there. I don't think it'll really matter all that much. You want the United States fans more than anything right now to get behind that title. And by getting behind that title, you have to have somebody who they really like to get the win. So I'm going to go with Miro to get the win. Now, remember, the Trios titles are going to be announced soon. We already talked about the timetable with that. It's happening. And you have the House of Black as a Trios. I'm not saying they're going to be the inaugural champs. And with Buddy Matthews injured right now, that's on hold. But, you know, Malakai Black is more with the House of Black. Miro is by himself. I go with Miro to get the win. Maybe this is more because of me being a fan of Miro, but I'm going to root for Miro to get the win. Zack Sabre Jr. versus the newest member of the Blackpool Combat Club. I think it's going to be Daniel Garcia. And obviously, if Daniel Garcia is the newest member of the Blackpool Combat Club, you don't break your cherry and have William Regal out there with a loss. Whoever faces Zack Sabre Jr., they're going to win. So, question mark will win, but I'm going with Daniel Garcia. We will see. All right, next. Jay White defending the IWGP Championship versus Okada, Adam Cole, and Hangman Page. You know, the original report is that Okada dropped the title because he was going to be with his family. I think the birth of his son, something like that. I mean, props to him if that was true, but he is here. Jay White just won that championship. Jay White cut some incredible promos overseas on Page more than anybody else. I personally think you don't bring Okada all the way here to the United States to lose. I actually think Okada's going to get the IWGP Championship back. I think this is going to be an incredible match. The funny thing is, what if Okada pins Adam Cole? Just think about that additional storyline that Jay White lost the championship and he didn't get pinned. So I will go with Okada, and I will say Okada will not pin Jay White. And I think that will lead to a rematch for New Japan down the line. So I kind of like my predictions tonight. I'm probably going to get them all wrong, but we'll go with it anyway. All right, the main event. John Moxley versus Tanahashi. Hiroshi Tanahashi. You're not going to have, with all due respect, the AEW fans live and online have shown a lot of respect for Tanahashi. Tanahashi is more well-known than you think amongst American fans. But since you did not strip CM Punk of this championship, whoever wins this interim championship is not losing it. I hope people realize that. Whoever wins this title is not going to lose it before CM Punk returns. So when CM Punk returns, who is the more likely opponent for him? Tanahashi or John Moxley? Right now, the AEW championships themselves feel secondary. And I think Moxley winning this championship, one of the most over wrestlers for All Elite Wrestling, he needs to represent All Elite Wrestling. I don't even think it's close. I think Moxley wins. And who knows with AEW, we might have somebody come out and attack Moxley right after. And that gets the attention off of Tanahashi. So I think that's it with all the matches tonight. Yeah, that's it. Wow, we went through them pretty good. We're at 55 minutes, so we'll get to end soon. We got a few other things to get into. Very quickly, NXT results from yesterday. Grayson Waller over Solo Sikoa. Kayden Carter and Katana Chance over Valentina Feroz and Yulisa Leon. Later on in the night, we had Cora Jade and Roxanne come out. They want a shot at the tag titles. It was a little stupid, in my opinion, because Kayden Carter and Katana Chance, they think that they're the number one contenders. They just lost it in your house. So why they ended up brawling, as some of you said yesterday, we'll see a number one contenders match probably next week on NXT, and we'll probably see Roxanne and Cora Jade win that and then go on to face Toxic Attraction down the line. Roderick Strong and Damon Kemp over Joaquin Wilde and Cruz del Toro. And damn, I knew I fucked up tonight. I did. Son of a bitch. I took screenshots. Maybe I have one here. I might not. I don't think I put them in this computer. God damn it. Did I put it? Did I? Shit. I didn't. All right. Well, you're going to have to trust me on this one. During Legato's match against Roderick Strong and Damon Kemp yesterday, Two Dimes was on. And some people forgot that yesterday was recorded before Two Dimes was released. And I think, creatively, you go back and you watch what happened last night, they knew they were releasing Two Dimes. Because what happened was Two Dimes thought he was tripping up either Roderick Strong or Damon Kemp. He was facing the other way. He just tripped one of them. But he actually tripped Legato. And if you go back and you watch it, when Legato got pinned, you look at Stacks, and Stacks is looking at Two Dimes like, what did you do? What did you do? Now, that obviously, if you think about it, that goes totally against the storyline, because for the first couple of weeks, they were fucking up Legato. But yesterday on NXT, you saw Stacks questioning Two Dimes for what he did, and Two Dimes thought he did good. So if you go back and you look at the reactions, there was obviously miscommunication there. And after thinking about it yesterday, my fear, I think, is going to happen. I think what's going to happen is next week we'll get something as lame as Tony D'Angelo coming out with Stacks. They're going to replay what we saw last night. And Tony D'Angelo is going to say that, Stacks, you keep slipping up. That's totally unacceptable in the family. You're out. Might be as stupid as that. So they had that set up. I don't know if Two Dimes knew, hey, why are they having me kind of go at odds with Stacks? So I'd rather see him sleep with the fishes. You know my scenario with the jewelry box and the pair of dimes, but I don't think they're going to go that route. Cameron Grimes over Idris and Ofi. Teasing Cameron Grimes possibly turning heel. Might see him in Breaker down the line. Von Wagner over Brooks Jensen. Alba Fire beats Last Legend by DQ. Lance Legend grabs Alba Fire's bat, uses it, and Carmelo Hayes retains the North American Championship against Tony D'Angelo. And once again, NXT, you know, staying in the sixes. That is incredible. Especially for, you know, it's not just developmental, pre-recorded. We know the spoilers for 2 weeks now. Nobody that was live ever said, oh, you got to go out of your way to see this match. You got to go out of your way to see this match. Some of the matches were okay, but nothing that we're going to remember a month from now. And that was cool, Christian, tonight, by the way, when he was talking about advice to the back. Did you hear the little shot towards MJF? You know, for people who are complaining about their paycheck, take whatever you can get. And then he's saying that, you know, the people out there should be more concerned about having matches that people will remember more than a month from now. That is so on point. And I love the little dig that Christian said to the fans, like, don't tell me how to wrestle and I won't tell you how to work the drive through. That's fucking great. That was great. So Impact had Slammiversary over the weekend. And the celebrating 20 years, obviously, very, very cool. When talking about the X Division wrestler of the decade, they were given props to AJ Styles. And AJ Styles, pre-recorded, given a little props to Impact Wrestling and its history. Very, very happy that WWE allowed him to show a little respect for Impact. Very, very cool to see that. And you know what? It was nice to see Dixie Carter appear. You know, I mean, we see pictures of her online. We know what she looks like in 2022, but it was nice to see that reaction. Now, to be honest with you, when she announced, when they had the match with the Impact Originals and her surprise was Davey Richards, no, I thought that fell flat. I felt like, hey, Dixie, we're going to make you announce a surprise. You know, you're going to have Davey Richards come out and you go back, you look at the crowd. I mean, I kind of felt bad for Davey Richards, to be honest with you. But it was nice to see Dixie. And, you know, she wasn't the only one there. They were recognizing a lot of history. Matches from Slammiversary, Rich Swann over Brian Myers to retain the Impact Digital Media Championship. Sharkboy won a reverse battle royal. Participants were Slash. And he came back with Father James Mitchell, which was very cool. Chase Stevens, Steve Macklin, Mike Jackson, Crazy Steve, Aiden Prince, Spider Nate Webb, Shogun, Sharkboy, who won it, Gujar, Raj Singh, Zicky Dice, Shira, David Young, Chris Bay, Johnny Swinger. So, you know, and I wish that wouldn't have been on the pre-show, but it was more, I think, comedy than anything else. Plus, we know about the history of the reverse battle royal. I never liked it, so they did that on a pre-show. Mike Bailey, and that was my prediction to get it. Mike Bailey wins the X Division Championship. He defeated Ace Austin, who had the title. Alex Zane, Andrew Everett, Kenny King, and Trey Miguel. Andrew Everett was filling in for Jack Evans. They said he was injured. But if you know my rants about him and Teddy Hart in the past, about no showing events. I don't know if it's injury or not. Maybe. Rosemary and Taya Valkyrie. Another prediction I got. They win the Impact Knockouts tag titles, defeating Madison Rayne and Tenille Dashwood. Sami Callihan beats Moose in a Monsters Ball match. Good Brothers regain the Impact tag titles, beating the Briscoes. The Impact Originals of Alex Shelley, Davey Richards, Chris Sabin, Frankie Kazarian, and Nick Aldis. They beat Honor No More, which was Eddie Edwards, Matt Taven, Mike Bennett, PCO, and Vincent. Jordynne Grace beats Tasha Steelz, Chelsea Green, Deonna Purrazzo, and Mia Yim to win the Impact Knockouts Championship. Queen in a Mountain match, Mickie James, special guest enforcer. Good news to report, Deonna Purrazzo and Chelsea Green are okay. If you haven't seen it, go out of your way to see it. It'll make you reminisce of Mia Yim's bump in NXT a long time ago when Keith Lee came out on the rampway to make sure that she was okay. They took a dive off the ladder in the middle of the ring to the outside through tables. And that shit was scary because they were right near the guardrail. I mean, it was scary. The tables just exploded, and you definitely want to go check that out if you haven't seen it. Main event was Josh Alexander retaining the Impact Championship, beating Eric Young. You know, I saw bits and pieces of it. I'm not going to say I sat there and watched the entire show from beginning to end. Some matches I skimmed through. But overall, you know, a solid event. Crowd, I thought, was a little on the small side, but that's pretty much what Impact has been recently. I wish they could get a little bit more momentum. I just don't know where. I mean, you've had, from the Briscoes to Jay White and others, you know, Jonah, I mean, they've all shown up there and they're not affecting the ratings in any way. So, Triple Mania over the weekend. Matt Hardy. Obviously, Jeff could not appear, was not going to appear, and they didn't want him to appear because of the DUI arrest. We don't have any updates yet. Remember, Monday was a holiday, Juneteenth, and yesterday was only Tuesday. So today is really only the second day since I've been doing my research on that. So I'm working on it. I'm working on it. So we needed a suitable replacement for Jeff Hardy. And we ended up getting Johnny Hardy. John Morrison, Johnny Nitro, Johnny Elite, Johnny Thunder, Johnny, whoever you want to call him, John Morrison, as we know him mostly, he came out as Jeff Hardy's replacement. He was Johnny Hardy. Unfortunately, though, they didn't win. You know, a little sign of respect afterwards with Matt and Johnny, but, you know, I guess it was okay. I will tell you this, he looked a hell of a lot better than he did in his two AEW matches. Yeah, it's his. You look back at his AEW matches, they were strange, man. They were just odd. I don't know why, but they were just a little bit odd. On the matches on the card, I'll just give you the quick results. We had La Hydra, Lady Shani, Maravilla, Reina Dorada, and Sexy Star, along with Chick, Tormenta, and Flamer. The last two were left in the cage, and that's how you lose, actually, because Flamer and Chick Tormenta were the final two inside the cage. They would face off later on in a mask versus mask match. Nino Hemerweza, Dita de Abismo Negro Jr., Bestia 666, Charlie Manson, Cibernético, Dulce Canela, see, I speak Mexico too, Heavy Metal, Mamba, Mecha Wolf, Misty Iguana, Pagano, Ray Zolo, and Vampiro. So Nino wins the Copa Triple Mania Tijuana. Phoenix defeated Taurus, Laredo Kid, Gio del Vicino, and Bandido to unify the AAA Latin American and AAA Cruiserweight Championships. In the AAA Reina de Reyes title match, Taya Valkyrie challenged Thunder Rosa to a match at a future AAA show. So Taya Valkyrie will be defending the AAA Reina de Reyes against Thunder Rosa in a future match. Pretty cool. They did a tribute to Conan. Much love there. Blue Demon Jr. beat Pentagon Jr. to move on to the finals of the Ruleta de la Muerte tournament that will be taking place later this year. Matt Hardy announced that Johnny Morrison, now known as Johnny Hardy, will be his opponent later on. Flamer over Chick Tormenta in a mask versus mask match. So Chick Tormenta had to unmask. Psycho Clown over Volano number 4 to advance to the Ruleta de la Muerte tournament finals later this year. And Dragon Lee and Drelistico defeated Johnny Hardy and Matt Hardy in the main event. So pretty cool. Sign of respect amongst all opponents at the very end. So not bad. Not bad. So with that said, we are done. We are done. So you know what? Let's spend about 6 minutes. So we'll be right around 75 minutes. I will be back here for the Don Tony Show on Saturday. We will have a pretty loaded show. And then Sunday will be Forbidden Door. And again, this is a stacked card. I don't think we'll have to spend a whole lot of time on it. I mean, some of these matches are awfully predictable, but we'll obviously run down the card. I will tell you this much. You know, you will get your money's worth with this. I mean, how many people we have on this card? Last time, what did they have? 50? So we have 4, 8, 12, oh, wait a minute, 16, 21, 26, 29, 32, 34, 36, 38, 40, 42, 44. Okay, not as much as Double or Nothing, but still, you know, at least one of those matches is a buy-in. But still, that is a lot of people. Especially, look, again, when you think about WWE, didn't they have 16 wrestlers at WrestleMania Backlash? 16. 16. It's not always about quantity. It's about quality. Just like it's not how big your stick is, it's how you use it. Doosh. Okay. Couple of questions. Let's answer some supers. And then I'll answer a couple of questions in the live chat. We'll get out of here. Steve Joseph. A new Beavis and Butthead is premiering tomorrow on Paramount. Check it out. I already have it planned to watch. And on Saturday, we're going to talk about Triple H back in WWE at the Performance Center. And as I put online, if you picture Triple H showing up at the Performance Center, this was Triple H earlier today at the Performance Center.
I'm back.
So there's your Beavis. That was unplanned. I was actually holding that until Sunday. One more time.
I'm back.
I swear to God, nobody knew that I was going to show that tonight. We're going to talk about Triple H on Saturday. Because, oh, by the way, avoid the clickbait that NXT is going to change again because Triple H is back. That's clickbait. It's clickbait. So, but yeah, I am definitely going to check that out tomorrow. I have Paramount Plus, and I hope it's good, man. I hope it's good. AS7607, in less than 2 hours, it's your birthday. So that means it's not your birthday yet, so no happy birthday. Oh, no, I'm only kidding. Happy birthday. She is a really good friend of the family. You know, went through some shit. Health-wise, family-wise, family health-wise. I mean, she's got it from all places. So much love, AS7607. I know you have a lot of friends in this chat. So everyone in the chat, take a minute. Not hit the like button. Not subscribe. No super chats. Just go in the chat room for a second and just type happy birthday. Or if you're that lazy, just post an emoji of a cake for AS7607. Kevon Lewis, what if Brian Danielson is talking about Jonathan Gresham? I know some people have said that. I like it, but I don't see Jonathan Gresham as a member of the Blackpool Combat Club. If you follow some of the matches recently, Yuta earned their respect. Daniel Garcia seemed like he has earned the respect of the Blackpool Combat Club. Gresham is more a solo guy, and that's a compliment on Jonathan Gresham. He doesn't need the others surrounding him. I think Daniel Garcia in the Blackpool Combat Club will be tremendous. And look, Sammy Guevara joining Jericho Appreciation Society, I think, sparked the storyline. I'm telling you. I'm not saying bet the house that it's going to be Daniel Garcia, but you best damn believe that that is going to be right at the top of my synopsis right after we do the show tonight. I think it's going to be Daniel Garcia. T. Smitty, 3,000. It would be ironic if Damon Kemp ends up being better than Gable. By the way, good to see Triple H back, but fans must understand NXT is still developmental. That's awesome because I didn't see a comment before. That it pretty much backs up what I said a moments ago. You know, Triple H being back, he's saying that more is the health sense. I don't know why people think, oh, I'm back. Okay, now let's back to, you know, the black and gold. No. Do people realize? Think about this. Again, we're not comparing AEW to NXT. I'm not going to be one of those that says, oh, they're doubling Rampage's rating. That's stupid. But think about this. NXT's ratings right now are very close to what they were in 2020 and even parts of 2019. Think about the roster at that time. I just so happen to have this nearby. Think about this. Think about all these people. And this was only what? This is 2021. That's 2021. Think about that roster in 2020 and 2019. And the ratings are very close. What does that tell you? That tells you what you're doing right now is working. NXT is not designed to draw a million. NXT is designed to build the stars of tomorrow. We will get crap matches. We will get, you know, hokey segments. But some things are going to stick. And a year from now, it's going to be really interesting to see who's in NXT right now that goes to the main roster. They're doing a great job. They're doing a great job. And you don't fuck with that. You don't fuck with that. Damon Kemp, I will tell you this. You know, Roddy Strong is coming to the final part of his WWE career. We've talked about that already. He wanted out a little while back. He kind of downplayed it to people online, you know, behind the scenes because he didn't want to cause controversy. Believe it or not, Roddy Strong actually gives a shit about some of those NXT stars of tomorrow. And Roddy is helping develop some of these guys, whether with him or against him. And, you know, Damon Kemp is obviously doing well. Still got a long ways to go. But ultimately, the Creed brothers will be a factor in this. And then once that's over and done, then we see where this goes from here. Look, I don't think Diamond Mine, the group, will be around 6 months from now. But for now, though, you know, it's just fine. It's just fine. Damon Kemp, I thought was good. I thought he was good yesterday. I mean, you know, sometimes when you don't notice the person's work and it's just like an okay match, when you're new, that's actually a good thing. So I thought he was fine. And he allowed Roddy to dictate the match. And that's a good thing. I just don't know if Roddy Strong would fit in right now with AEW. Would they immediately put him in the Undisputed Elite? I'm not that sure. I think you would do that when Kenny Omega is ready to return. That you could then make the move. But right now, I say no. All right. So let's answer a couple of quick questions in the chat. Let's keep it non-Raw, non-SmackDown, non-Vince tonight. Let's keep it pretty much what we've talked about tonight. I want to get out of here in about 5 minutes or so. So if you ask me quick questions, I will answer them quick and we'll get out of here. By the way, I want to thank everybody for the well wishes. I posted on social media an update about my medical issue. End of September is when I'm going to get shit done. And hopefully, you know, I won't have any complications. So where in the world is Electra Lopez? Good question. Very good question. I don't know. I mean, but then again, you know what? It was only 2 weeks ago. You know, she pie-faced sort of Cora Jade. So, you know, I think right now, and we talked about it when they were on the boat, it looked goofy when you had the D'Angelo family and you had Legato and there's no female on the side of the D'Angelo family. So I think keeping Electra Lopez on the sidelines for the last couple of weeks was a good idea. This unity between, well, you can't even call it that, but this alliance, this forced alliance with Legato and D'Angelo family, it's about to blow up. They're on the fast track of blowing this up. I think you will see Electra Lopez back almost immediately. So should Lee Moriarty join the Blackpool Combat Club? No. I mean, look, we like him. He's not bad, Sean Dean and a few others, but at the end of the day, Tony Khan knows they're not household names and they're not what people who people want to see. They want to put a bigger star there. Whoever joins that club is going to be a bigger name, and Daniel Garcia is going to fit that role, in my opinion. So Nier is asking, does Ciampa go back to NXT? I don't know, man. I am afraid for Ciampa's immediate WWE future. It's just awful. I am a huge fan of Ciampa. I don't need to defend myself or prove it here. but what he's been doing on the main roster has been awful. To attack people and not even be able to cut a promo to explain it half the time, I'm not liking it. I'm very, very nervous. So, you know what, Matthew? I appreciate what you just did. You did not have to do that, but I thank you for doing that. He sent a super in because he wanted me to correct myself that Jack Evans legitimately got injured at the GCW pay-per-view. Ninja Mac. Okay. All right. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. I'm sorry that you had to do that for me to notice, but okay, good. Look, I apologize to Jack Evans too, but he himself knows 15 plus years ago, those motherfuckers made excuses to get out of his uncle died 5 times. I'm not kidding. I mean, we just joked about it on Patreon earlier this week when I used to post pictures of shit from a bull. And that's where I would put, oh, Teddy Hart's in the house. Just bullshit. But, you know, and look, Jack Evans kind of got the shit end of the stick in AEW towards the end. We know about that as well. But thank you for clearing that up. So, Daniel, who's my favorite band, Shout or Pat McAfee? I don't know what you mean by that, but I am a huge, huge fan of Pat McAfee. It's amazing that, what, 2 years ago, I freaking despised that man. Pat McAfee, it's amazing. When he first showed up at WrestleMania with those awful shorts and wearing the shoes or the sneakers that he did, I'm like, and didn't he say that they almost booted him that day? Didn't some, I could have sworn I heard that. I saw him that day, and I was like, oh, get off my TV. What the fuck is that? He just rubbed me the wrong way. And it's amazing, 2 years later, what this guy is. His value is freaking crazy. Okay, so he's clarifying his post. He just wanted to send a shout-out to McAfee. Yeah, I thought when I saw your post, I was like, wait, Pat McAfee doesn't perform. But I like Pat McAfee anyway. My favorite band of all time, if you're talking about rock music, Pink Floyd. Pink Floyd is my all-time favorite rock band. So I don't consider hip-hop groups bands, so we won't put hip-hop in there. And he's asking, would I ever do a Day in the Life vlog? No. If you're talking about Tim White stuff, hell no. Hell no. That shit was uncomfortable back in 2005. I still feel a little uncomfortable watching those skits now, but, you know, once in a while we do the Growing Up DT stuff, and we do it on shows that are very, very down-to-earth, off-the-cuff. But, you know, and even my daily routine, trust me, it's not as interesting. If I go through my neighborhood and record things, you'll find that interesting. Hey, here's where this person got whacked. Hey, here's where this person got kidnapped. Oh, this is where John Gotti used to live. Hey, this is where the people, you know, that's different, but, you know, we haven't gotten to that point yet, but we could always do that down the line. I don't really want to record my daily. My life is not that, you know, interesting. I'm not kidding. So, is it midnight yet? No. So we can't officially, happy birthday, AS7607. Fred says D12 is his band. Why does that sound like a joke? Rams fan is asking, am I surprised Forbidden Door does not have a battle royal? You know, that's a good one. You would think with all of the wrestlers that are stuck on Dark and stuck on Elevation, you would be, well, you know why I think that is? I think I just answered my own question. Because it cost a lot of money to fly these wrestlers into the States. Now, remember, some of these wrestlers that are here right now from New Japan, they work in other promotions. Don't think that Tony Khan flew them all in, paying for their hotel room for all his time. You will see a lot of these wrestlers working other promotions while they're in the States. You don't have a lot of others that are not on this show lingering. So if you filled up a battle royal, who are you going to put on there on behalf of New Japan? I think that's the reason why we don't see a battle royal. But you could have taken two or three of these matches, kept it off. And I guarantee, look, I know people may not agree with me, but you could have done a battle royal and featured Sting in it, Darby Allin, and some of those New Japan guys, and the Ass Boys and Caster and, you know, some of the, you could have filled it up pretty quickly, but I think it would have, I think the star level would be so dramatically different. Like you have Sting and Darby and everybody else is down here. So that's probably why didn't. Rob, I think CM Punk should be at Forbidden Door. Why are they not putting him on a little bit of commentary? You know, I mean, look, he's recovering, but it's his fucking lower leg. You know, I mean, unless, and you're in Chicago. I was just going to say, maybe they don't want him to fly. You're in fucking Chicago. Put CM Punk on commentary for a little while. I think some people would tune in just because CM Punk is on commentary. It's a good one. If Penta is signed to AEW and not New Japan, why can't he go to Forbidden Door? Sam, because he has a deal with AAA as well. There's issues with AAA, CMLL. Conan actually explained this on his podcast recently. You know, but look, if they were allowed at Forbidden Door, I guarantee you, Tony Khan would have found room to put Penta and Rey Fénix on the show. They're not. They're not. So that's why. AAA. They do have contracts overseas too. They're not exclusive to AEW. CM Punk keeping his foot elevated. You know what? I mean, I had a car accident and I fucking did a number. I mean, I'm sure you all saw that goofy promo when I was in indie wrestling where I stripped down and I showed you my scars on my hip and my foot. I'm not going to pull it up now. But, you know, when I almost crushed it in a car accident, I had pins and everything else. I didn't have to keep it up in the air. That's like bad sitcoms where somebody has to keep their foot almost pinned up in a wall, you know, towards the ceiling. I don't think he has to do anything like that, especially after several weeks following surgery. Maybe the first week to 10 days, you know, but I don't see it. Do I think we're going to get an MJF run-in at Forbidden Door, AS7607? Good question, and this is my answer. We talked about it last week with their awful Dynamite rating and their even more awful Rampage rating. MJF, if they're going to further a storyline, they need to do it either at Blood and Guts or right after Blood and Guts. Okay. You wanted all the attention on Forbidden Door. You wanted all the attention on Okada and everybody else. You got your Forbidden Door. You have the joint pay-per-view this weekend. MJF is not part of that storyline. Even if he did come back, what are you saying to Mike? I don't give a shit about New Japan. I don't want to fight anybody. Fuck you. So they have to incorporate him back on TV, either at Blood and Guts or the week after. This cannot be a storyline that they think they could go into like the fall and then tease him back. They need to start firing those MJF bullets now. So, okay, you got Forbidden Door right after it, at Blood and Guts or the following week. We got to have MJF back on TV. Yeah, it's possible, Mike. MJF attacks Moxley. Sure. That could happen right at the end of the pay-per-view. You could have a masked man come out. They think it's somebody from New Japan and he unmasks and it's MJF. That's fine. The minute New Japan Forbidden Door is over, you could incorporate MJF anytime you want. Absolutely. Wouldn't that be something? Even though Moxley winning the championship is not supposed to lose it before Punk returns, wouldn't that be something if they changed their mind? MJF ended up winning the interim championship. And then we end up Punk versus MJF, title versus title, when they return. Something to keep on your mind. I think that's a great way for us to finish tonight. So I want to thank everybody for joining me. I will be back here Saturday for the Don Tony Show. We will have a lot of fun comments, topics, and I know it's a horrible tease, but I might as well throw it out there. Maybe this will draw a few people in. You heard recently that the attorney for Tammy Sitch wants off the case. PW Insider, they broke the news. All they did was read a court website. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, and no one is reporting this. I have the information as to why that lawyer is leaving the case and what it's being replaced by. Why? Because sometimes you talk to your enemies. See, a lot of people, when they saw Tammy Sitch on social media ripping the shit out of me right before she was put in jail, I told everyone that was not Tammy Sitch doing it. That was her boyfriend doing it. Her boyfriend threatened to beat the shit out of me. Boyfriend said a lot worse. You know, I mean, I probably could have sent the screenshots and it could have gotten to the point that it would have been brought into a case. But, you know, it is what it is. But I ended up talking to him a couple of days ago, one-on-one. And I'll explain Saturday how that happened, why it happened. But I want to make this clear right now. If you think in any way, shape, or form that I'm coming up here to defend that guy or defend her, please send me whatever you're smoking. Because under no circumstances do I think that she should be out of jail. She should get 15 years minimum. So I don't want anybody to think that this conversation was, hey, you know, make me look good. No, that's not the case at all. I'll explain why Saturday. But I got all the information straight from the source. So it'll be interesting, I promise you. Put it this way. Of all the people that they decided to go after hard, they went after me. There's a reason behind that. But we'll talk about that Saturday. I'll let you know also what I do get in response to the Jeff Hardy research that I'm doing. We're going to find out who got him that vehicle. A lot of mainstream news is petrified. They won't even cover it. They won't even acknowledge it. Jeff Hardy, somebody got him that vehicle. It was not Jeff Hardy's vehicle. And I'm just waiting for the report to come back as to whose vehicle that was. We know it was rented. And we know that it was obtained, it appears, in Florida. The question is, did a wrestler get the car for Jeff Hardy? Did Jeff Hardy somehow get that car and the rental company either did him a solid or they didn't do their due diligence and see what his license status was in North Carolina? You know, the funny thing is I saw, PW Insider broke a story that he's got to go back in court and he's facing this and facing this. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. He's facing issues with North Carolina because he was on probation and he violated that probation. So the next step in the case is exactly what we talked about already. That's not news. That's just understanding the court system. But we'll talk about that Saturday. We'll get into anything else that transpires with the genetic jackhammer, Vince McMahon. And props to everyone who got back to me. We talked a little bit about it on Patreon yesterday, and I was blown away at some of the emails and DMs that I got, and I got quite a few from people in wrestling. And yesterday on Patreon, I name dropped a few people. I normally don't name drop people, but I got a few. And, you know, these are people that I'm like, I actually wrote to one person back yesterday. I said, you're enjoying me? You know, like, no, it's the opposite. I freaking love your stuff. And people are telling me, keep up the good work. Love that you're straight shooting. Love that you're being brutally honest with this. Love that you, again, you could take either side you want, but you can't bash the other side just simply because it doesn't reflect your views or how you feel about it. That's a mess, that situation. But we also got to let it play out. But we got a lot of stuff to get into on Saturday. So, listen. Don't think, Matt, don't think. I know I said this the other day. Don't think Tony Khan. Don't think Young Bucks. It's not. I would be blown away if it was any, but it's not. I mean, again, I already explained why it's definitely not Matt Hardy or Tony Khan. If you ask my hunch is that there are bullshit car rental companies out there. I don't know if it's a bullshit company where you could drive the car back to North Carolina and just leave it in North Carolina. But there's a lot of hole in the wall rentals, and it could very well be that Jeff Hardy lied on his application and they didn't check his license. It could very well be simple as that. I don't believe Jeff Hardy rented the vehicle when his license was not suspended, because he has a restricted license, but then that got suspended. We don't know why. I can't find any traffic violations as to why his restricted license would have been suspended. You know, remember what we said the other day, and we're going to get out of here right now. You know, as part of his probation deal in 2020, he was required to have an alcohol ignition cutoff device in his vehicle. When you go in a vehicle, before you could start the car, you got to blow into a breathalyzer in order for the car to start. The problem is Jeff Hardy has no cars under his name. So if he doesn't have a car under his name, there's no car to put a breathalyzer in. See how you could, the loopholes? So the question is, I'm trying to find out why his restricted license was suspended. As far as I know, there's no other moving violations that have not been reported. So Anthony Walsh is saying, can't we just give Jeff a break? Anthony, 3 DUIs in 10 years, more intoxicated than Tammy Sitch, could have easily killed him or killed other people. And let's also think about this. He has a history battling his demons. And we all want to see Jeff Hardy overcome those demons. We don't want to crucify the man. But he's got to be held accountable for what happened. And in some ways, I kind of hope he hits rock bottom right now. Because some people need to hit rock bottom in order to overcome. You know, that was the problem, unfortunately, when we talked about Ric Flair back in the day. If you covered it in real time, it seemed like every time Ric Flair, God rest his soul, every time he got in trouble, it seemed like law enforcement was cutting him a break because he was the son of Ric Flair. And unfortunately, those breaks probably gave him this mindset that, oh, I'll never get in big trouble. Look at Brian Christopher. Brian Christopher thought that, oh, no, I'm my dad or somebody's going to get me out of prison. And he stood there. And unfortunately, you know, we know what transpired or allegedly transpired afterwards. Some people have to hit rock bottom to straighten out. I had to hit rock bottom a long time ago to straighten my ass out. Some other people don't need to hit rock bottom. Jeff Hardy, it almost feels like he needs to hit rock bottom. So I hope he's all right. Everyone, it's been real. Much love. Fun show tonight. I think we covered it all. And if you're around Saturday night, join me right here, 8.05 p.m. And, oh, shit, I knew we forgot to do something. We got to give away a pair of Adam Bomb figures. We had the NXT watch party yesterday. So, yes, these are hot, off the presses. Got two. Well, I got more than two, but we're giving away two. And this is everybody who was active in a watch party yesterday. This is the wheel. And everybody who has double entries are the ones that actually were talking or on video as well. So I'm going to spin this wheel twice. Obviously, someone is not going to win two figures, but we're going to spin this twice. And look, we're going to have a watch party this Friday with SmackDown and Rampage. I have a couple of cool signed photos to give away. I got an awesome Randy Orton one. It is not an old photo. It's actually something he recently posed. In fact, I have one coming with Seth Rollins from the Hell in a Cell match with Cody Rhodes. You got to see this fucking photo. So I have those on the way. So we might give those away on Friday. I have to think about it. But I got some cool shit. All you got to do is hang out in a watch party. You know, even some people, if their TV provider is not there, they still watch the TV from the house and they just chat in the chat room. So, all right, let's give these away. Two winners and good luck. Who's going to be the first? And if they don't want their prize, we'll just give it away at a future watch party. Not everybody accepts their prize. Jet Cat. I think that's the first time Jet Cat has won something. Congrats to Jet Cat. Who's the second winner? Let us see. Let us see. This is live and in living color. Not too many green boxes. Oh, near. Wait a minute. I have to ship a fucking figure all the way to Israel? This is going to go all the way to Israel? You're going to pay like $45 shipping. No, it's okay. I've shipped things to Nir all the way in Israel, and he's gotten them. So, you know, congrats. Congrats. Nir is good people. Everybody's good people. So, all right, everybody. I'm going to jet out of here. Join me Friday for the watch parties. You don't have to show up to both. You could show up to just one. You don't have to be there the whole night. But we got SmackDown, and we got Rampage. Oh, Rampage this Friday doesn't look like a bad card. SmackDown is going to be interesting. And if I don't see you Friday, join me Saturday. Bye, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.